This is Thank You Heartbreak.
Hi, everyone. I'm Chelsea Lee Trescott.
As a breakup coach, relationship advice columnist, and the founder of Break Upward, Chelsea is passionate about human beings and their stories. She talks to people about their journeys in love, growth, heartbreak, revelations, and every wound and lesson along the way.
This podcast shines a light on heartbreak, showing you that the most crushing experiences are also your greatest opportunity to become meaningful, relatable human beings. Now, let's get to the heart of it. Hi, everyone. This is Chelsea Lee Trescott, podcast host of Thank You Heartbreak, and this is episode 251 with Vincent Jenna. Vincent is a psychic therapist, medium, the podcast host of The Jenna Effect, and the author of The Secret That's Holding You Back.
And here's the hardest part. Being courageous enough to want to know what you really believe about yourself. That's the painful part. Because I have so many clients, and when I tell them, yeah, you have no relationship because you don't believe you're lovable. Oh, no, I do believe. No, you don't. Otherwise, there would be somebody there. And then we do our talking, and I do my work, and I go inside, and I bring out the different evidence from the past as to why the person wouldn't love themselves. And then they turn around, and they go, oh, my God, I really don't believe I'm lovable. Oh, my God. And I said, say that out loud now. I'm not lovable. Well, that's silly. No, say it. Just say it out loud. And when they say it out loud, they're like, that sounds ridiculous. I said, I know that sounds ridiculous. That's what you've been carrying around with you is that belief. And now you expect to attract a wonderful relationship with that belief in you that you've been carrying around. Of course, you're not going to attract a wonderful relationship. And of course, you're lovable. Who says you're not? What, because of the way you were treated when you were younger, that makes you unlovable? No, it doesn't. It makes you believe you're unlovable, but no adult and no circumstance gets to define a human being. You were defined from the moment you were created by a power and a source, and then you get to define yourself in this lifetime.
What you just heard was a clip from the conversation that we have. The core message of this episode is that we manifest the beliefs that we have about ourselves internally. And the challenging thing about this is what we think we believe about ourselves is often not what we actually believe or would admit about ourselves. So many of us, as Vincent said, can sit down and say, no, I believe I'm lovable. And yet there's all these actions that they take throughout their lives or circumstances that they get themselves into that mirror back evidence that they must not find themselves lovable. Now, nowhere is this more evident, perhaps, than in the story you're about to hear dealing with me. God, I wish I could go back and write a whole dissertation and just underline all the things I say and read. You know, warning signs. But as much as I want to hold this episode back, I am going to use it for our learning. I'll be the student here. And whether you relate to me in this episode or just find my story as a cautionary tale, I think both outcomes are beneficial. So normally this would be part of the intro where I expound upon what I learned in listening to myself back and where I share this sensitive topic that is spoken about in the first 20 minutes of this episode. Instead, I'm just going to get into the episode and think potentially I'm going to save what I was going to share to another episode. Maybe that will go out next. I just don't want to distract too much, even though there's so much I would like to explain and I would like to sensitively discuss. I know that I went to do it and it was already like 20 something minutes long. And again, I don't want to take away from the episode. I guess one thing I would just ask is, I too am in a season of growth. So go gentle on me with all that I am sharing. And also just thank you. Thank you for being a part of my growth process and seeing the listens that are happening. It does hold me accountable to the things I'm saying and the ways that I want to grow and show up and do a better job of loving myself and letting love in. So the stories you're hearing and the perspective that I'm sharing and the questions I'm asking can all evolve. So with that said, I know you can be doing anything in the world right now. There are so many options and you are choosing to spend your time on us. That really does mean the world to me. So with that said, episode 251 with Vincent Jenna. Well, one, I'll just say that I remember when I got the email from your publicist about, you know, what's holding you back. And I swear to you, I just met someone and we were speaking and I was getting up to leave after sitting down with her. And I said, you know, I just got to figure out what's holding me back. And I swear 15 or 30 seconds after, I got an email about you coming on to answer this question.
And it was so nice. Look at how the universe listens to you. Isn't that amazing how that works?
It is amazing. And then the fact that I get to speak with you right before I have this big moment that I've been trying to build up the courage to go back to LA after 10 years. It was really the worst years of my life. And I think I've been afraid of going back. And I finally found the courage to make this trip happen. I'm going in less than 24 hours.
Okay, good. Can you share why they were the worst 10 years of your life? First of all, you look so friggin' young. So what were you back there at 10 years old? I mean,
Not at all. I peaked at 10. So I wasn't there when I was 10 years old. I was there for grad school. And and it just became the most isolating years of my life. It had been in my 20s, you know, undergrad, I started withdrawing from the world. And when I got there, I withdrew even more. I never left my apartment. I became unrecognizable. I was in a long-distance relationship where I was always just waiting for him to arrive. I developed like this social anxiety that I had never had. I never smiled. I never laughed. I could barely move through the world. And what became of me by the end of it was really frightening. And it's taken me many years to, I feel like, to gain myself back after that.
Well, what I find really interesting, Chelsea, and this is what so many other people go through, and they look at some of their experiences, it totally is how you interpret your experience. First of all, you were young, and quite honestly, you're back in LA. You were pretty fortunate to isolate yourself because at least you stayed away from a lot of the loonies and crazies out there, okay? Right. So that was one benefit to you isolating, okay? But more importantly, if they were the worst years of your life, how did you bounce back then? They couldn't have been the worst years of your life because the worst years of your life would have led you to some other destructive lifestyle. Obviously, you've grown and you have this podcast and you're doing these amazing things. So you may not have liked the 10 years that you went through like that, but man, oh man, I don't know a sculptor who enjoys the beginning work of sculpting. Michelangelo took big giant pieces of marble, and in sculpting them, they were so bad, the shards were hitting him in the eyes. He almost was blinded from his chiseling, and he had to wear a bandana around his mouth to stop all the dust from going down into his lungs, and he still had problems. And oh my God, the time that he went through all of that, and you know what? Every single one of his pieces are in a museum being loved and enjoyed by everyone in the world who gets to see them in person or by picture. He produced some of the most beautiful, wonderful pieces. And yet him and anybody else seeing that process would have said, oh, my God, that was the worst time of my life.
Mm.
And So you chiseled away during that time. And yeah, I know it may have been painful. It's the same thing when I look at my torment that I went through when I was younger until I was 17 years old. I could say that was the worst time in my life. But in actuality, how could I actually say that? Because that is what led me to who I am today. So it was a painful time of my life. But man, oh, man, I'm glad about the choices that I make, because look at where I am today. Because of those choices, look at where you are today because of your choices, and it may have been painful. So you don't have to worry about the courage of going back. You're not going back to the same place. You're not going backwards. You're going back as this person. You're going to have such a grand time.
That's what I've been saying, is I want to return and as I am now.
Yes.
But the thing is, I've been feeling like I've been holding myself back, and also with someone that I've been speaking with that's out there for 6 months I've been speaking to. And the news that I just got this morning was that one, the apartment I'm swapping with, so I have a place to stay.
Okay.
The person's in the ER and missed their flight. So I don't know where I'm flying toward now. And then also the person that I've been talking to and have been so excited to meet told me that he has herpes. So it's just as, it's crazy. Like I've been building up the courage to go back. And now I'm within 24 hours have been told something that, you know, kind of changes the dynamic of the trip.
Okay, you're going to have to use that. And one thing that I have to say, and about my book, and the whole reason why I wrote it, is because of what we wind up manifesting for ourselves. So think about the feeling you just said, the worst 10 years of my life. So you have to know that in little Chelsea or younger Chelsea, there are these scars about the past and these expectations because of those scars. So you just said you had to muster up the courage to go back. So obviously, there were some negative fears and doubts already inside of you planning this trip. Mm-hmm. Well, you can feed into a negative pool of energy, right, that manifests negative outcomes.
Yeah.
All right. We manifest what's on the inside. So, but you're not the only one, because they are too. I don't see the apartment thing as being an issue right now, but I do see the person that you were excited to meet. Boy, oh boy, I am so glad that this person was honest. Mm-hmm. Because it is not the type of, obviously, male, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So obviously, if he has herpes, but don't tell anybody, he's been sleeping around. Now, is that the type of relationship you want to enter into?
I'll tell you, I stopped sleeping with people for the last year because I know how reckless I am. And it's been something that, you know, I'm 35 now, and I would be like, why am I doing this to my body? Why do I keep on risking this?
I know.
And no, so in a way, it's just like, this has been, I stopped so this wouldn't happen to me. I'm so thankful I was told, but I do feel like, and I don't know what you'd have to say about this, sometimes the withholding of information feels like a lie in itself.
But who withheld in the beginning? Is that what you're saying versus you withheld?
No, I just feel like he's had 6 months to tell me, like, how do you build up a sexual fantasy and talking about all these things only to tell me 24 hours that here's some research.
Again, that I present to you, is that what you want? Okay. Yeah. All right. Chelsea, if you thought and believed that you were a princess, do you then believe that this guy you attracted into your life is your knight in shining armor?
No.
What's your answer to that?
No.
Okay. So why on earth would you settle for anything less? That is one thing that I'm going to have a big discussion with whoever created the body on the other side to start with. I know I had nothing to do with the original body. Neither did God, by the way. God only created souls. We created the physical body. And then we created this thing and this sexual drive so that we could procreate. But it's like, why on earth did it cause such major problems because of how enjoyable it is? We're sexual beings, okay? And we're going to gravitate towards that. Yes, should we have some discretion? And yeah, but the only thing that allows for any kind of discretion is when you have true self-love.
Yeah.
Because when you have true self-love, then all you will accept in a relationship is affection and true love and caring. Unfortunately, one of the reasons why there are so many diseases out there, sexually transmitted diseases, is because people are not forming relationships on an emotional foundation. They're forming relationships on a sexual foundation first. You know, those one-night stands. Man, oh, man. Every single television show I watch today on all those other channels, not ABC, NBC, and CBS, as soon as I turn it on, they're in bed. And they have to show everybody naked now. I'm like, because that's what society is leaning towards, because we've been so distraught emotionally. But we still want relationships, so at least let's have a sexual one. But that doesn't account for a relationship, as you can tell. You're 35 years old, and you've not experienced unconditional love yet.
No.
And so you deserve it now. And timing is everything. And you're ready now. And I'm glad that he at least was forthcoming before you got there. Okay? Because, yeah, you would have. And this is like, hey, dude, you just, first of all, you missed your point. In order for you to get herpes to start with, and I am sorry, a lot of indiscretions go on. We know about diseases. We're not fools anymore. How many times I know this guy, through you, I'm reading this guy. He doesn't like wearing protection at all. He likes bareback everything, okay? Just so that you know, all right? I just give you that heads up about that. So if he doesn't care about protection, what is he saying about the other person? If he is willing to take the risk for himself, and he's willing to take the risk with the other person, for the other person, then there is a non-caring there, and it's certainly a non-self-caring. And that's a sadness that he doesn't love himself enough, but you're coming to a point where you want more. You want reality. You want something real and wonderful. And look, I just got on the show with you. And I'm already giving you advice and counseling, but because I'm feeling where you're coming from and I'm feeling that you're hurt, but I think this is a great opportunity to say, oh my gosh, thank you, universe, for putting something in this guy to have him be forthcoming before we are at the end going, man, oh man, that was good. By the way, I have herpes. You idiot. You know, it's just like, I think this was definitely good timing for you. Okay. Even as far as the roommate and switching apartments, which is, you know, it's a great idea, but something's got to be going on there too, that is going to help you out in the long run. So you've got to switch your attitude. That's what my work is all about. You got to get down deep inside there and tell little Chelsea, because that's where it all comes from, is that she's not a screw up and she's not a mess up. She's really good and she's really worth loving. And look at the shows. She's doing these shows purposely to put messages out into the world to share with people. So look at what you've become because of all your experiences, how wonderful you are, and have this kid start believing in herself and loving herself and knowing that every opportunity then is going to be a positive one. It's going to turn out okay for you. Just, I would say, thank you, guy. Thank you, dude, for letting me know that. And it's really wonderful. We'll get a cup of coffee and that'll be it. 6 months does not determine a relationship, Chelsea. 6 years determines a relationship. Okay. My wife and I have been together for 49 years. We thought we cared about each other in the beginning. And now when we look back and see how we feel about each other today, it's just like, oh my God, we really were kids back then and didn't understand. And so, no, nothing wonderful happens that quickly, unless, of course, you're meeting somebody from a past life. This is not that situation. At least I don't feel that. You had a nice conversation. That's wonderful. That is great. But you absolutely deserve more. Don't take this so bad. I know you feel like it's a setback and, oh, I'm going to meet this person. It's so nice. Was that the major reason why you were going back to California to meet this guy?
I had felt this pull after this kind of disorienting time in my life, this time last year through March, and had really plummeted, felt a lot of intense heartbreak. And I had felt called by LA, which as a psychic, maybe you can understand or believe in, is I've been feeling this call to LA for a long time. And I basically put my hinge, I got off the apps in New York and put my hinge on LA and said I was looking for guys to come on my podcast to listen and learn from them. And so the trip to LA had always been inside of me. He was one of the guys that came on the podcast, and it came into, you know, maybe a story I created, but he definitely lended a healing energy to me. He definitely helped heal me just through the questions he's asked. And being who I am, I became very loyal to him on my own without him asking, and have been holding out physically to meet him. But then also feeling in July I was supposed to go. And I started to feel like, I don't know if I'm prepared. If this goes right or if this goes wrong, I don't know if I'm prepared to go out there and feel lonely again. I don't know. I felt too weak at the time. And that's why I'm going now. I feel, you know, stronger, but also, you know, I have to be honest. And it's exactly what you've said. It's, you know, we manifest these things. We do. And the whole time for these last 6 months, I have been concerned that something wasn't
that being your
disclosed.
Intuition, your intuition, hon, was definitely telling you, don't put your eggs in this basket. Not even some of them, you know. Yeah. The saying is, don't put all your eggs in one basket. Don't put any of your eggs in this basket, physically, literally, and figuratively. Okay. Yeah, I can totally get that and understand that, and especially since you've been through so much and you're hoping for more. But yes, you turn, you know, so I'll ask you, you know, straight out, which is interesting. There's no, you know, this is not a negative thing, a question, but, do you or think that you have any kind of lesbian tendencies?
I've never been attracted to women, but it was,
okay.
That's
fair.
Since I was like, maybe before I turned 10, it was something that my aunt, who's a therapist, came to my family about. And because I had shaved my head. So it was an idea that was put into my head at a very young age. But I've never actually felt an attraction to be with women.
There you go. All right. So the reason why I asked this question is, take this guy who was on your podcast and now have him be a woman, giving the same information and giving the same insight and making you feel the exact same way. Would you have then thought that you should have been loyal to him now, to her, and that you would have a relationship with her just because of everything that she said, because she's female? Would you have had the exact same feelings that you have for this guy? What do you think?
She really would have made me question, maybe I do have attraction, because he's definitely had a way with his words.
But the whole reason why I bring that up is because we are sexual beings, and there is a wonderful relationship going on between whatever you're attracted to, whatever your orientation is. And you think that just because some really nice words are being shared, we immediately go to that first spiritual center, which is your gonads. And it's just like, oh, because these are nice words, I'm so attracted to this person. And yeah. And now we make something more out of it.
Yeah.
You know, I have your best friends. Do you want to go to bed with your best friends? Now, again, what I said earlier, we made this body to be sexual. And yes, sometimes the answer could be that, yeah, I'd even bed my best friend because I love him so much, male or female, it doesn't matter. You know, and what would be wrong with that? There was the movie Cocoon, and that was an old movie, probably older than you. And it was about aliens who came to Earth to get cocoons that they had beings left in the water, safeguarding them. And now they came to the Earth to get them and take them back home. And Steve Guttenberg was the actor in the movie, and he was a male, and they were using his boat. And so they told him who he what they were. So he found out that they were aliens, and he had an attraction towards the female alien. And they were in a pool together. And she said, well, you know, he was getting into intimately, like, what do you do back on that planet? And she said, well, let me show you.
Oh.
And she's like, oh, my God. But she's on one side. He starts approaching her and he goes, no. You can stay over there. And all of a sudden, you see this beautiful ball of light come out from her and is hovering in the middle of them. And it's getting beautiful and bright and very strong. And then all of a sudden, it goes shooting into him. And he has the greatest orgasm that he's ever had. And he's like, whoa. And she said, we share ourselves with anybody and everybody that we love. Mm-hmm. And I almost feel that that's the way it's supposed to be. But because we went off path and off track a long time ago, we created the concept of monogamy and we created the concept of marriage to try to get ourselves under control. That was our soul's desire. It's so hard to do. It's messed up. Wars have been started because of sex. Diseases are spread all over the place because of sex. And a lack of self-love has been spread all over because of it. Because once you go there, then you feel bad about yourself. You've got guilt. It's not about morality. Morals are created from the need to not feel bad about ourselves. I'll say that again. That's the only reason why we have a concept of morals. And it has nothing to do with God, the commandments. It has to do with those things, those guidelines make us, when we break them at all, it makes us feel bad about ourselves. And when we feel bad about ourselves, we can't grow.
When we feel bad about ourselves, we can't grow.
No. You can't. You can't evolve. You can't grow. You can't experience your own magnificence and divinity. You carry guilt. It's terrible. You can't grow because you feel bad. And that's why you're not seeing a lot of growth on the face of the earth right now. That's why I wrote my book.
So that's why you're also saying that attitude is everything. Because like, if you are feeling bad about yourself, then what is the first step toward growth?
Oh, wow. Well, the first step actually is finding out what you really are believing about yourself, because your listeners right now are saying, oh, no, I believe in myself. No, I don't feel that bad about myself. Yeah, maybe some things I do, I make a mistake. Not true. Because of the anomalies that go on in your brain, and your brain does this purposely, what it really comes down to is that most people do not believe what they think they believe. Bottom line, the two highest functions of the brain, Chelsea, is one, to keep us alive. Makes sense. The second highest is to protect us. That's how it keeps us alive. And for example, we know how it protects us physically, like this coronavirus that was going around. One of the symptoms is a low-grade fever, a fever. Well, it's not the coronavirus that's causing the fever. It's your brain that is purposely raising your body temperature to make it an unlivable environment for the virus. Mm-hmm. Now, the brain isn't paying attention to the fact that raising your body temperature makes you feel uncomfortable, or if it goes too high, can even kill you. It's agenda. I have to protect you from this virus. Mm-hmm. All right. So how does it protect us from emotional pain? When you get emotional pain, you can't function the same way. So what happens then is that it creates a whole new set of beliefs for you to shield you and protect you from the beliefs that are hurting you. And the beliefs that are hurting you are the first set of beliefs we form about ourselves as children, all the way up until young adulthood, by the negative messages and the messages we receive from the environment. So that's including your parents, all the adults in your life, your siblings, even the situation and the circumstances to how you're living and how you're being raised in that. And so we form what I call the first set of I'm nots. Mm-hmm. I'm not good enough. I'm not lovable. I'm not deserving. I'm not smart enough. I'm not pretty enough. By the way, I see that that's one of your little girl I'm not, is I'm not pretty enough. Now, consciously, you may know you're pretty, but in the heart of hearts of little Chelsea, he does not believe she's pretty. So one of your issues sexually then is that when a guy is turned on to you because of your looks, it's almost a way of trying to prove to yourself, well, I must be attractive because he's attracted to me. And so that was an unconscious motivation without you even knowing it, because the defense mechanism, the brain created a defense mechanism to keep you from believing that. Well, why does this matter? Well, we're more than just mind and body. We're body, mind, and spirit. Mm-hmm. So what is that spirit thing? We're energy, we're souls. And as souls, we're connected to a power, a source, a force. They call it the law of attraction. It doesn't make a difference what you call it. But there is a force out there. Just like George Lucas wrote in Star Wars, there is the force. And he was very metaphysical and spiritual. And that movie happens to be about us and our relationship with the force. And that we're both Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader, because our goal is to attempt to become Jedi Knights and use the force the right way. But we can flip to the dark side many times and keep going back and forth. So there is that force, but where we're connected to it is not in our conscious minds. We are taught a little, it's not deception, it was just not clear enough that the way the law of attraction is being taught, because it keeps saying that your thoughts create. So that would let us suggest that you're connected in your conscious mind. Can't be. First of all, your conscious mind only accounts for 2 to 5% of your entire mind. 2 to 5%. That means 95 to 98% of your mind is in unconscious awareness. People don't know what the hell they're thinking. They think they do. But in 95 to 98% of your mind, there's a whole bunch of things going on in there you're not even aware of. That's where the power is connected, unfortunately. If it was your thoughts that created alone, the moment humans had thoughts, instantaneously something would happen. That can't be. Half the world would be dead by now, and the other half would be billionaires from winning the lottery. It's just impossible that it's connected there. So it has to be at a different level. And that level is your unconscious mind. So when you're turning around and saying, I want a partner, just like you, just, I would love a partner. I'm ready for a partner. It's time to have a really nice relationship with somebody nice. That's beautiful and that's wonderful. So that starts to muster up energy that's about ready to be released from you. But the problem is you don't then hear little Chelsea turn around and say, I don't know what you're going after. It's not going to work. You're not lovable. You're not good enough. You're only going to have a failure there. And now that mixes in with the rest of the energy you just created and your desire to have a partner. And now that releases from you and goes into the universe. And because like attracts like, you attract someone who has the same inner core beliefs about himself. Or herself, whomever you want to attract, right? And so now you put those two people together. That doesn't bode well for a secure relationship. They're both trying to get love and affection from each other because they don't have it for themselves. And eventually, because of unconscious expectations, that relationship is going to fall apart, break apart. That's exactly what has happened to you since you were a young adult, because it happened to you earlier than that. And so the expectation in your life has always been, I'm not going to find anything great. Just like you had the expectation of, if I go to California, is it going to turn out bad again? I had such a bad time there when I was there the last time. It could be. So that's a conscious expectation, but you can imagine unconsciously how much more there is. And then it manifests in front of you and you don't even realize. And then that manifestation makes you turn around and makes the little you say, you see, I told you I was right. You're not lovable. You're not going to get anybody good. No, it has nothing to do with the fact that you're not lovable. It has to do with the fact that that's what you believed. So the conscious beliefs, the conscious thoughts, it's not thoughts that create them. It's beliefs that create. Now your thoughts feed into your beliefs. So you have to have positive thoughts in order to turn those beliefs around. So your question to me then is, first, you have to disempower that protective mechanism, the defense mechanisms. And in my book, I say that there's another part of the mind called the adult made mind that harbors these defense mechanisms. Freud's mentioned 10 of them, including denial, projection, suppression, repression, all of those, right? They're keeping you from realizing that you have negative self-beliefs. Well, you have to face that. And you have to turn around and be able to say, okay. I don't have the career that I really want. I don't have the money or the finances that I really want. I certainly don't have love in my life that I really want. And I'm not, this is an example. I'm not saying that all of this is related to you, Chelsea. And so there must be a belief in me that's holding me back. That's keeping me from tapping into the abundance law. That's another law of life, is abundance and prosperity. We're entitled to it all. We were told that from the very beginning. So you have to be able to acknowledge that first and then say, okay. And here's the hardest part. Being courageous enough to want to know what you really believe about yourself. That's the painful part. Because I have so many clients, and when I tell them, yeah, you have no relationship because you don't believe you're lovable. Oh, no, I do believe. No, you don't. Otherwise, there would be somebody there. And then we do our talking, and I do my work, and I go inside, and I bring out the different evidence from the past as to why the person wouldn't love themselves. And then they turn around, and they go, oh, my God, I really don't believe I'm lovable. Oh, my God. And I said, say that out loud now. Now, say out loud, I'm not lovable. And, well, that's silly. No, say it. Just say it out loud. And when they say it out loud, they're like, that sounds ridiculous. I said, I know that sounds ridiculous. That's what you've been carrying around with you, is that belief. And now you expect to attract a wonderful relationship with that belief in you that you've been carrying around? Of course you're not going to attract a wonderful relationship. And of course you're lovable. Who says you're not? What, because of the way you were treated when you were younger, that makes you unlovable? No, it doesn't. It makes you believe you're unlovable. But no adult and no circumstance gets to define a human being. You were defined from the moment you were created by a power and a source. And then you get to define yourself in this lifetime. And it's not by anything anybody else says or does, because they're working off of their own issues. And so our parents, they're some of the most messed up people around. And now all of a sudden they're having children. Not, they didn't go to they. I wasn't around then to help them. So they don't, and they didn't just go out all the time. My parents, as messed up as they were, oh my God, my mother had every disorder in the diagnostic manual. Every one of them, she was so bad because she was sexually molested by her brother and cousin until she was 13 years old. Totally messed her up. But they didn't go for counseling back then. No, her counseling was, I'm going to have children. And then they pass down their mess up onto us. And so it perpetuates that way until you do the work. So, yeah, and please, you're such a wonderful light in the world. It's so sad that you don't appreciate. You're growing into that appreciation. Well, you grow into it more. Grow into it more. You're just a great light. And you need a knight in shining armor. This guy isn't even an apprentice. I'm sorry. It's always great to have guests come on that just blow your mind away, isn't it?
Yes. I knew that you would have that effect, though.
Chelsea, go and have fun. Go and see that you get to define what California is to you. California doesn't get to define who you are. You know, you'll have a different experience, but go as you having the experience and go for fun. And you never know, maybe you will attract somebody else now that you've heard this more and you're going to pay more attention to little Chelsea.
Little Chelsea.
She's the one who's been carrying around the scars.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have little Vinny, okay? Because literally, until I was 17 years old and could gain a little control over my life, I was tormented by all the kids in school. They would chase me home. If they caught me, they'd beat me up in school. They constantly did all the stereotypic stuff, knocked the books out of my hand, shoved me in lockers, flushed my head in toilets, threw me in dumpsters, stripped me and threw me into assemblies to embarrass me. They humiliated me, shot spitballs at me, peed on me, spit on me, did all sorts of unmentionable things in the boys' gym to me when we reached puberty. Okay, if you can use your imagination.
And some of then it was in the book.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I did put that in the book. See, you did read that. Exactly. Then when I got home, I was completely abused by mom and dad. Dad was the enforcer from mom. Mom had mental pathologies going on left and right because of the abuse she went through. And so, yeah, I was pretty messed up when I was younger. And even though I'm doing the work I am today and I'm quite successful at it and very happy and have an incredible life and been with my wife for 49 years and just had my, well, I didn't have it. My daughter had our fourth grandchild. Boy. It was absolutely beautiful. And we have such joy in our lives. Little Vinny wants to pop his head out all the time to tell me, well, this isn't going to be successful. They're not going to like you. That the book isn't going to do well. You're not going to go ahead. You're not. There's everybody else is better than you, because that's the human kid who was so tormented. And I have to make sure that I talk to him and reparent him and caress him and embrace him all the time to let him know, no, that's not true. You know, look at how wonderful your life is. But yes, we can take care of our issues. You took care of a lot of your issues, but every hurt creates a scar. And the scars can be re-inflamed, right? Like, for example, this situation with the person that's going to switch apartments with you, as well as the boy, didn't create something new, a new pain. Right. Actually inflamed some old little Chelsea flames.
Yeah.
Right? You see, I'm not going to be happy. I'm not worth being happy. Whatever they are, the I'm nots, whatever is in there, the situation inflamed that, which is why it hurts so much, because that all the pain, whenever the scar is inflamed, you feel all the pain all over again from the very beginning, even though you may not be thinking about your youth and all the experiences you went through then, but the pain is as intense.
Yeah, that's what I loved about what you wrote about, because it's like the history of the pain. It's not just the single event.
No, it's not a single event. And the interesting thing about the work that I do, I loved Freud's work. He was a psychoanalytical person. He created that psychoanalysis. But Freud believed that in order to heal, you had to go through each of the experiences like an onion, layer of onion, and resolve it in some way. And then the next layer and the next experience. Oh my gosh, I'm 67 years old. I don't have enough time to go through any of the layers from back then. There's so many of them. And even at your age, there's plenty. No, all you have to know is that every circumstance winds up creating a very small amount of issues and pain. And like I said, they're the I'm nots. And really, we can take all the I'm nots, the I'm not smart enough, I'm not good enough, I'm not deserving, I'm not worthy, whatever it is, to come up with the final bottom common denominator pain. I'm not lovable. Because love is the most important thing to our existence. It's how we were created. It's what we come in as loving beings. We want to share that. And our greatest pain is when that is resisted and when we're abandoned. Look at the world and look at the history. Look at the wars and the battles that have been fought from people pushing away other people and love and breakup of relationship, right? Look at the way even the United States, right? Right now we got this civil war thing going on. We got a bunch of kids crying out in their negativity, in their bigot, in their hatred, saying, you don't love me, you don't care about me, so I got to take care of myself. And I don't care about you either. To you, and I'm going to take my bat and ball and go home, and I'm not going to play with you. And if you hit me, I'm going to hit you and hurt you back. What is that? That is all a bunch of kids who don't feel lovable. And that was the story of written to tell us that we could become that way was actually the story of Cain and Abel in the Bible. Every single story in the Old Testament mm-hmm. is metaphoric and metaphysical to give us a message about ourselves. It's not historical.
Right. It
may have used some real characters. It's like a Dan Brown novel. I love Dan Brown because he takes facts and then he puts a fictional story to it. Mm-hmm. So the Old Testament is very similar to that. It takes some facts and then it'll put a little story, a fictional story to it, or elaborate on the story to make a point. And the point about the Cain and Abel story was two brothers that came from the same source. So souls coming from the God source. And as long as you feel attached to that source, you feel attended to, you feel loved, you feel cared for, you feel loving, you feel kind, you feel like Abel. Okay? But the moment you detach for some reason from that source, you feel abandoned, you feel neglected, you feel resentful, you feel angry, you feel enraged and jealous, you feel like Cain. And those negative feelings can be so powerful, the Cain in you can overpower the Abel in you and kill it off. Mm-hmm. That's the meaning of that story. And so what you're seeing in the world today are all these Cains, mm-hmm. because some way, somehow, they were abandoned, or at least made to feel that way. And it led to their resentment, their anger, their hatred, their enraged, and they're going to take it out because the brain again has to create a protective mechanism. So they'll blame the world. They'll blame Black people or women or Muslims or LGBTQ pluses, whatever they want to blame as the reason for their pain and hate and hurt and neglect. And that's actually an anomaly that is created to keep humans functioning. They're called coping mechanisms. I was a psychotherapist, and one of the things that we had to do is work with clients to give them coping mechanisms. Mm-hmm. Some of these people don't have those defense mechanisms, and that's where you see depression and everything. But the same coping mechanism that got you through life and got you to work and got you to, you know, maybe have a family and stuff like that are working against you to keep you from thriving. Yeah. Coping skills make you survive. They don't make you thrive. Mm-hmm. And we are souls, and souls want to thrive and grow. And eventually, the coping skills no longer work. And that's what you're seeing in the world today. Coping skills not working.
Mm. And then what about the subconscious? Because you talk about the, like, the supermind and the super spirit. So if we're so much unconsciousness, how do we tap into the superconscious?
Yeah. I know. Well, you've heard about all mindfulness. We have several authors that have talked about that. The beginning authors were actually Jon Kabat-Zinn, who talked, yeah. He wrote a book called Wherever You Go, There You Are.
Yes.
And it was about mindfulness. And then Eckhart Tolle, of course, really brought it in the forefront and very famous with the here and now and the power of here and now. And yes, you're supposed to be mindful. And their reasoning was so that you could pay attention to your life and enjoy it rather than having it pass by you. You know, in any given day, people will get from the beginning of the day and the end of the day, and they'll go, oh my gosh, that time flew by. What happened to my day? I don't even remember what I did today, because they're not paying attention to it. They're always thinking ahead, thinking about what else they have to do. That is the reason why we were told, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough worries in itself to take care of today. It was always to point you to the current experiences. But there's another reason for mindfulness. Mindfulness allows you to also pay attention to your thoughts. In the psychology world, we call that metacognition, thinking about what you're thinking about. And the reason why you want to do that is so that you can immediately catch those negative feelings, the doubts, the fears, and know that you're having them so that you could stop and go, wait a minute. A matter of fact, in my book, I have some exercises about that. I have the 3R exercise that I spoke about in system, and it's called review, replace, reinforce. So the idea of reviewing and stopping and catching those negative thoughts and reviewing, wait a minute, I just had a negative thought about myself. See, like for you, can I use you for an example? Like with the California thing? Okay. Okay. I just had this fear about going to California. Okay. So review where that could be coming from. Okay. Well, the pains that I experienced in my past while I was there, they made me really feel bad about myself. I'm not good enough. I'm not lovable. I'm not deserving, whatever that is. So I'm reviewing that. Now replace the thoughts, those negative thoughts. Okay. Am I really not good enough? Not lovable? No, I think I'm lovable. I know I'm lovable. Oh, I know I'm good enough. I'm always getting better. Yeah, okay, so I make some mistakes. So what? That's okay. Yeah, so it's kind of like also a reparenting, which I always coin to reparent yourself. So have the adult in you that's wiser, more experienced, tell the younger person in you something more reasonable about their belief. So that's how you replace it, okay? Because you would know if a 9-year-old kid came up to you and said, "Mommy, nobody likes me. The kids picked on me in school today. I'm not lovable. They all hate me." And then the teacher corrected me, so I'm stupid. I'm never going to get ahead. You would never let that child, you know, you would say, "Okay, honey, it's okay. Go to bed right now. I'll have a cookie. You'll feel better." You would, if you were wise enough and smart enough and normal, I mean, yes, of course, there's always those that aren't in that normal category, and there's always the outliers, but you would turn around and say, "No, honey, that's not true. Maybe the kids picked on you because their mommies and daddies reprimanded them or punished them in the morning because they did something bad before they came to school. And it's okay if you made a mistake in school today. I did. I made so many mistakes. Tomorrow you're going to do better. Don't worry about it. It's going to be okay. I know that." So you would allow that. But you have to do that then to your own inner kid. No, don't believe that you're not lovable. Of course you're lovable. What would make you unlovable? Okay, so you did some stupid things and you said a couple of bad things to some people and hurt people. That's okay. You can learn not to because you're good. You're wonderful. You would know what to say.
Yeah.
Then constantly reinforce those beliefs with the positives. You see, look at what a great show you had today. Isn't that wonderful? That's because of you and what you're able to do. And it has nothing to do with what you believed about yourself. This is the truth of who you are. Oh, look, okay, look, thank goodness you found out about this boy before you wound up getting hurt yourself. That was really good that you found out. And that you had something to do with that. You're really good. So reinforcing, review, replace, reinforce. The process is simple. You know, some people look at it and go, "And that's going to cure me?" Absolutely. The process is simple. The practice is difficult because the practice, you have to be on top of those voices on a daily basis.
Yeah.
I talk with the highest sources, and that's including who I consider my guides, my buddies on the other side, the God source, even some loved ones, and little Vinny all day long. And I speak in my head, and when nobody's around, I talk out loud. And I'm talking to him all day long, because if I'm not doing that, then my mind is going off by itself. Mm-hmm. And little Vinny then has a chance to speak without me paying attention. You know how kids act up when you're not giving them any attention at all, and they become rambunctious and they try to gain your attention? Well, that's when those voices can go chatter, chatter, chatter inside of you even worse. Yeah. But if you give it attention, if you're mindful, and that is the major reason for mindfulness, to understand and hear what you're thinking so you can change it. Otherwise, you get into habit. So the subconscious mind, that is the mind that gets trained to be automatic. So it's not just about being conscious in your thoughts. It's about retraining with the 2-5% of your consciousness, that small little piece. That little piece has the power to retrain the subconscious mind. because the subconscious mind doesn't just control autonomic features of the body, such as breathing, such as your heart beating, such as your hormones being secreted correctly, all of that, that's all controlled by the automatic part, the subconscious part of your mind. But your thoughts and your feelings are also affected by the subconscious mind. For example, once you learned how to walk, you never had to think about it again. It's automatic. Once you learned how to brush your teeth, it's automatic. Go to work, drive your car. We don't think about each step because the subconscious mind kicks in. Well, it does the same thing with emotions and thoughts. So when somebody says something nasty to you, it is not those words from the other person that makes you feel bad or angry, because you have to have a thought in order to create a feeling. And so subconsciously and automatically, that button is pushed and the thought goes by, you see, you're not lovable, nobody likes you. And then all of a sudden, the defensive mind kicks in and goes, that feels terrible. No, let's get angry here, because you jerk. I can't believe you just said that to me. How stupid. That's terrible. And you feel bad and I hate you and blah, 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 because that makes it easy. Anger is a defense mechanism. And it's a secondary emotion. The first emotion was, you see, I'm no good. Nobody likes me. Boom, anger kicks in before you even complete the sentence, so that you don't have to. Now you distract your feelings from yourself and redirect them to the other person.
So true.
And that keeps you from feeling like a piece of crap. Mm-hmm. So even forgiveness, one of the reasons why people have such a hard time forgiving is because they're forgiving the wrong persons.
I totally
and people.
Agree. Gotta forgive yourself.
Bingo, because we blame ourselves for everything, everything. It's me. That's why he acted like that. There's something wrong with me. You know, that's why my love life. So here I am. This is why my job is so difficult, because I just told you, you manifested all of this as an adult, right? Either for the good or maybe what you didn't want, right? And now I'm telling you, you have to forgive yourself and not feel bad about what you manifested. It's really hard, because I'm putting the responsibility on your shoulders for what you created in the world, which is going to make you feel, oh, I can't believe I did that. Oh my God. Look, I had a heart attack and I knew I caused it.
Yeah.
But I didn't feel so bad about myself that I couldn't forgive myself, because I've done this work. Okay, all right. So I didn't have any major heart damage, and I was really thrilled about that, though I was walking around with a 99% blockage and an artery off my widowmaker. The doctors in the hospital, I had 3 weeks I was walking around with it, and the doctors in the hospital said I should be dead. You don't even have a mark on your heart. Your heart is even stronger than the average person, so don't even worry about the heart attack that you had. So I know the work that I did, I call it a spiritual bank account.
Help, that's good.
Help to collect a whole bunch of positive stuff, so that if I do go off the path, which I do, I can depend on that keeping me from experiencing it worse. But I still went off the path. And I had to recognize it and go, okay, jerk. Which I laugh at anyway. Okay, all right. You didn't pay attention to some fear you had. You just clogged your self-love so instantaneously, so quick, just because of what somebody said. And you wind up having a heart attack. All right, I won't let that happen again. Let's go. Because I know that this body is to only help my soul get to experience my greatness. What I achieve in this life with this body doesn't matter. Now, I do the work that I do, and I want to come on shows like you because I want to be able to get my message out there. I want to get this book out there. I want to get this work out there because I know people need it, because they're suffering like pigs in the world today. And I want to help that as much as I can. Now, that's the only reason why I want to become successful, not to prove to myself that I can.
Not to
Little Vinny. I don't need to prove anything to Little Vinny. I have to just keep embracing him and letting him know. He'll see how wonderful he is. And he has been. he's been pretty good. He'll get really surprised sometimes when he hears some wonderful things being said. He still gets excited about it, you know, and I'm like, okay, see, I told you. And he's Italian and he's from New York, so he's really obstinate and arrogant. So, you know, trying to shut him up is really difficult. So I got to love him and go along with him and let him speak.
Wow. So it's really what I am holding on to is the fact that it is a practice. It's not like that voice suddenly gets replaced or goes silent. And I was thinking about it in the shower just recently about how the moments when I really let this other like voice come in and just take me. It's a big reason we go into romances is so we can start thinking about the romance. It's a pure distractions, defense mechanisms. And I remember thinking literally within the last 3 days, it was like that I need to start speaking back, be in conversation with. And I feel like that's what you're saying is like the whole reparenting thing. And if there's anything that I've manifested is, and though I wanted it, you know, to be this perfect thing so I wouldn't have to do this, but in a way it's like if I still go and I go to LA, I guess it'll be an opportunity to reparent myself there. Because I don't necessarily feel so on top of everything. I'm going to have to overcome things right as I'm getting on a flight. But it will have to be this moment where I get to see how I've been showing up for myself these 10 years since I've been gone. And this will be some of the moments to start doing that for myself. And that will probably be more of a healing and encouraging
Absolutely. And feel really good. Now, here's the thing. Yes, you may have attracted this guy to start with, but you also manifested him being and helped to manifest him being honest with you also. So you did that too. So take credit for the positives because it's both sides. It's never just one side. We come together in partnership to learn more about ourselves than the other person. And there's no victimization in life. That's a really hard concept for anybody to accept. No victimization. This universe was created in perfect order. And it's only us that create disorder. We are not in a duality life. We created the duality. Okay? It was only supposed to be one side. But the moment we broke away from that God source is when we created the duality. Everybody seems to think, and scientists want to say that just because there's a North Pole and a South Pole, and there's opposites, and there's good and there's bad, and there's, you know, whatever.
Left and right, yeah.
Happiness and sadness, that the universe must be a dual-natured universe. No, it's not. It was never dual-natured. Because then that would mean, as it creates itself, that at any given time, it could just implode and destroy itself. Not true. We are the ones that affect that. We are the ones that put the universe in order. And once we started that, as Newton's law, if I remind everybody, once something is put into motion, only an equal to or greater force can change the motion. The higher source put everything in a forward motion. We can never go backwards. And being an intelligent, it would never create backwardness. We can dig our heels into the ground. So all the evil you see in the world is actually the friction of digging your heels in the ground and keeping yourself from evolving. So once you detach from the God force, that is where the concept of evil began. There is no evil that exists. It's just the lack of God, shall we say, the lack of that higher feeling, that higher understanding that creates the evilness. If you look at Star Wars again, both Luke Skywalker and Anakin Skywalker, before there was Luke Skywalker, he was going in a forward direction, learning how to be a Jedi Knight. When he became Darth Vader, he was still moving in a forward direction, learning how developing his force even more so. It never stopped once he kept in motion. So the idea of the light and the dark, they're both going in the same direction. Okay. That's why the concept of flipping came out of that movie and inspirationally, because that's what you can do. You can flip back and forth from the light side to the dark side, but you can never go backwards. Now, if you dig your heels into the ground and don't want to move forward, you can see those people who just aren't evolving. We're already 11,000 years old plus, and we still have homeless people. And they still don't have any, you know, self-esteem. And it's like, oh, my God, what are you still in kindergarten down here? You know, some people, the way they're acting and their hatred and their bigotry. Those are people that are digging their heels in. And children do that, don't they? Don't children turn around and say, no, I'm not going to do that. When their parent, they get so angry. They don't want to be obedient. They don't want to listen. They don't even want to listen to the teacher who's trying to teach them something good. And they dig their heels into the ground, right? But they're still growing up. They're still becoming adults and with the same attitude. So that's what you're seeing on the earth is heel digging. But we're always moving forward. And we're always, you know, have the opportunity of learning and flipping to the light side. So yes, you're always creating something 24/7. So yes, I absolutely see you creating so much more for yourself when you do take this trip. I really do. And if you are going to be parenting yourself. And so I would not advise changing it. That's my little psychic message to you. But I would have a discussion with this gentleman and, you know, having enjoyed, because it's important for us to know that there is another side of us that can attract. And I don't know what the conversation was and what he came on talking about. But you need to know that you're still capable of attracting care and affection in a positive way. And so consider that maybe a little 6-month practice.
With him.
Yes, with him.
Yes, I totally.
But the real thing is coming.
Okay.
Don't settle for less than the real thing anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
And ask the universe, which you're part of. Okay. Universe, I seem to have attracted this person into my life. Is he in my best and highest interest? If not, give me a sign, show me. And trust the universe, because I believe that his disclosure before you arrived was you and the universe giving you a sign.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you can trust yourself. You created that too.
Yeah. And listen to yourself. It's the biggest thing. As you know, intuition is everything. Yeah.
It is. See, you know, and you've been doing this. How long have you been doing this podcast?
A few years.
A few years. And what are all the subjects that you wind up talking about? You make people think.
Yeah, I mean, it's really extended. In the beginning, it was about relationships, but a lot of it is like the ways that we break our own heart, addiction, just depriving ourselves, abandoning ourselves. And everyone that's come on, though, I would say at this point, especially as I'm, you know, kind of working through my own things, everyone feels like a messenger. So at this point in the podcast, I've gotten into a really vulnerable place with it. As you can see, I'm in tears, but I really look at people like you as coming on. And it feels like as I'm navigating my journey after heartbreak, that's when the podcast started, that each person, each guest really helps me reposition. And I think my audience with that hopefully gathers some of that too. Every guest is a guide. Every guest is a guide. So I will use everything that you've told me here and take it with me on my trip, you know, as another voice.
Oh, absolutely. And you've attracted every guest.
Yeah.
So just always remember, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Okay. So that is, and anybody can be a teacher. You know, with something that they say that winds up resonating with you and wakes something up from within you. And yes. And when it comes to relationships, yeah, that's one of my fortes is relationships as well, because I've worked so hard at it. And like I said, I've been with my wife for 49 years. I know all about relationships and how to make them work. And it never is about couple therapy. It never is about going to a counselor to learn how to talk to each other. It's not, those are all band-aids, those are all coping skills. What it's about are two people coming together, and because they're together to learn about themselves, they're going to dive deep into themselves, because all people have stories, no matter how intense or minor they may be. They have stories. They have hurts from their past, no matter what. And there's always a way of growing. So now you get these two people, and instead of doing it by yourself, you got a partner. And so you read a self-help positive book together, discuss it. You watch an inspirational movie together and you discuss it. You sit down in some quiet time and talk about your deepest feelings. You go to a spiritual center. You discuss your experiences. Take a program online. You discuss your experiences. You're constantly working on self-growth and healing and self-love, but you're doing it in partnership to help each other. That will automatically seal the relationship, or come to discover that, okay, maybe we're not meant to be together, but it's amicable discovery. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, when two people are working on themselves and they're doing it together, rest assured that couple relationship is going to become stronger and stronger and stronger. The foundation that my wife and I have, and it doesn't mean we don't have arguments. We have arguments, but because of the work we did, we immediately go back in our own corners and go, okay, what button did you allow that to be pushed? That's an old scar. Mm. Okay, so, all right, because of what she said, you felt inadequate, but that you're not inadequate, and she didn't mean to make you feel inadequate, but you responded back that way. So because you responded back that way, then she responded. So, all right, okay, it has nothing to do with that. I depend on our love that we've created, that that matters more, and that we are good people. She's a wonderful person. I know I'm a good person. I'm a good catch, too. And there you go. Then we come back together like nothing has happened. And sometimes when required, we say sorry. And other times, it's just joy again. It's just joy again. Because we're back to the belief.
And you know what I love that you have in the book, and for anyone that's hearing you saying this about whether it's like reading a self-help book, listening to a podcast, doing a program together, you had this really kind of, I'm going to just call it a tip, that you could go to someone and rather than putting them on the defense and saying, we need to read this book together because you really need to read a book on attachments, let's say, you could say, hey, like for my own growth, I really want to read this book and I really yes. value your perspective. You yes. always have a different angle with it. So will you read it with me so you can show me maybe what I'm missing? And that's yes. way of bringing someone in. That was so good.
That is, but in you, what you just said and acknowledging that, that is an insight in you, which is so important. Yes, you're not tossing it at the other person and telling them this is what you need to change. That's why couple therapy is so bad, because what is it about? The intention truly is that when it both parties agree, they're thinking that they're going to get the counselor to tell the other person how wrong they are. And so they sit there, and because I know it, I was a psychotherapist. I had couples come in all the time, and I would sit there listening to the one turn around and bash the other one. He's always doing this and that and this and that. Oh, well, I do this and that because you're doing this and that. And I'm like sitting there going, you really think this is going to work?
Yeah.
And what do you want from me? You want me to tell her that she's wrong? Or you want me to tell him that he's wrong? I'm going to tell you, you're both wrong, but not because of what you're feeling, but because of what you're not doing. You're not healing your own individual issues. Mm. And I've always advised that when couples come to me that say they're going to get married, they're going to have children, what's my best advice for having children? The first thing I say is take care of your issues. That'll make you a great parent. Take care of your own issues. And I can see that in my own children. My daughter was a very emotional child growing up. She came into the world to learn self-love. So she always felt that people hated her, disliked her. So that really put her over the edge. Well, she got married. Great guy. Because her core is so wonderful and beautiful. And we tried to really instill that in her. Well, she wanted to have a baby. She became very obese, close to actually 400 pounds, and she's short. And she did everything she could. She went through gastric surgery, bypass, real bad one. the most intense one there is, but put herself through counseling and an outpatient clinic for eating disorders, still goes to a counselor today. Oh my God, this girl is so loving because she didn't want to threaten the baby with her weight. And she just had this child. And she is a mentor for everybody. Her pregnancy throughout was perfect. She had not one problem. In the beginning, she had 2 days of nausea, and that was it. But it's been joy, joy, joy. Everybody who sees her, she was smiling. She's giving birth and thanking the nurses and the doctor for their care while she's doing that, looking at her like, you should be screaming right now or angry. No, she was just so loving and gentle because she did the work and she loves herself. And now she gets to love her baby and her husband loves himself. And it's so beautiful to watch. And it works when you do the self-healing. And she finally has really learned. Now, is she still emotional? Oh, yes, she gets her breakdowns, but it's not the same. It's completely different. And she rebounds so quickly. And then she shares that with others, that it's okay to get a breakdown and that cry, to start crying. You're human. You're going to have human feelings. And then she learns how to get them in order and bounce back. It's just remarkable seeing her do that and seeing that that's what we're all capable of if we take the time. If we take the time and we commit to ourselves, Chelsea, and we walk with integrity, like doing this work all the time, not just on Sundays and not just occasionally when we can think about it. This is the most important work. And the other thing that I said in the book is that it's the hardest work. Yeah. It is actually easier to become a CEO of a Fortune 500 company than it is to do this work, because you're facing your deepest inner demons. Mm-hmm. But you can do it, and it'll be the most rewarding work you've done. And the promise is this: after you get to the other side and you're experiencing some wonderful things in your life, you don't even remember how hard the work was. Mm-hmm. You don't remember it. It's like there is a hormone that only women have, that after they give birth, the hormone is secreted that makes them forget the pain.
I knew there had to be such a thing as that. Oh my God. I've never confirmed this. Wow.
Yes, it is. It is absolutely true, because we would not have as many people on the earth if you remembered that pain. Women would not have, oh my God, I'm not going through that again. You know, even with epidural drugs and stuff like that, there's still a certain amount of after effect. I mean, your uterus rips and they don't do episiotomies anymore. Oh my God. I was like, an episiotomy is they help to cut some of the outer layer so that it doesn't. They don't do that anymore. They let it stretch and rip naturally because it supposedly heals better, but it still causes pain. But that hormone makes you forget the pain. It's like some of the drugs that they give you when you go for some surgical procedures, and it makes you forget what you've gone through. Yeah, you can think about it and you can recall that you went through pain, but you can never re-feel it again. I don't remember exactly how painful that was. No, it just is amazing. But so doing this work is the same thing.
I feel like that's what wisdom is, in a way. You know, with wisdom, it's no longer that visceral experience. You know, you went through something, you know that there had been pain there, but yeah, you've forgotten the agony of it.
You do. And it's great that you brought up wisdom. Wisdom is knowledge that works. It's a ton of information out there, but it's not all wisdom. But if it works, and it does what it's supposed to do, then that's when it becomes wisdom. And that's what you want to apply, is wisdom. You always want to look for the wisdom, because, you know, there's so many people out there filled with a lot of knowledge and a lot of book smarts, but has very little wisdom, because nothing of what they're saying is actually going to work to help improve anything in life. It's just knowledge, you know, just understanding. That's what this is all about, is doing the work and knowing that you're worth it. And we really got to do it. And I so appreciate a show like yours for me to be able to get this out there, because if you look at the world today, we are in dire needs of it. And going back to relationships, And what I'm saying is the more you do that inner work, the more you're assured to attract the right relationship. And here is the one thing that everybody needs to know about relationships. Attraction has nothing to do with another person. Attraction has nothing to do with another person. It has to do with your beliefs about yourself. And because like attracts like, you can almost guarantee the type of person you're going to attract if you do the proper work. For example, I do a workshop on relationships, which is fabulous. I love it. I love it. It's the myths about relationships. And you know that list, that proverbial list that people write or they write in their minds about what they want in a partner?
Yes, okay. I've heard about
it. Yes. Well, you should do this practice too. I want you to do this. This is what I want everybody to do that doesn't have a partner and is looking for a great partner, the perfect one. You got to do it in this order. Take a piece of paper, pen and pen, and at the top, write the 10 most important traits I want in my partner. You got to do that. The 10 most important traits I want in my partner. Now, number 1 to 10, you may have 20, but pick out the 10 most important ones and go and write what they are. After you're done with number 10, go back to the title that I made you write. Go over to the word partner, cross it out, and write the word M-E. M-E. So now the title says, the 10 most important traits I want in me. You have to start it the other way so that you come out, so you're objective enough to come out with those 10 traits that you really want in a partner. And now when you realize that they have to be the 10 traits inside of you, you know what you need to work on then. You have a list right in front of you as to what to enhance, what to get rid of that you don't want on that list, and what you want to add that's on that list that you don't have. And as long as you're doing that, and you don't have to be perfect, and you don't have to get them all done before, that's what you're going to attract, because like attracts like. Opposites do not attract. That's a myth. It comes out in the form of opposites, which is why people think opposites attract, because personality styles are different or genders are different. So it may appear differently, but your inner core beliefs, whatever they are, that's the type of person that you're going to attract into your life. Change those and you change what you attract. Then, of course, once you've got the attraction, then the work between the two of you is what allows you to maintain it. So,
and at the very least, as you're attracting someone else, at least you'll like, you know, the partner that you have within yourself. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the other upside too, yeah, for everyone that's single, that if you can become more of the thing that you're looking for, you will enjoy being with yourself more.
Oh my gosh. Absolutely. Absolutely. And you'll know, you'll filter out. There may be some stragglers that come in here or there, but you'll know right away that this isn't the person, because the healing part of you that's loving yourself more is not going to allow you to be desperate.
Yeah.
And just grab somebody who's willing to love you or like you. And it's not even love. It's more like, and always in the beginning of the courtship phase anyway, everybody is on their P's and Q's and everybody acts great. And as soon as they start settling in, you know, the novelty is worn off. And then you're seeing the real person come out, and then the negative can come out. So it's not that you attracted an asshole to start with, but each one of us can become that king if the positive isn't being reinforced.
And tell everyone where they can get the book.
Oh, all you do is go to Amazon.com, get it through there. That's going to be the best place. And you can also go to my website for any information, VincentGenna.com. That's with a G-E-N-N-A. And that'll link you everywhere to all my social media sites. I do live events. I have my own podcast called The Jet Effect, with tons of wonderful, informative shows on there to listen to. So that's one of the best ways to really continue. Sign up, of course, for my newsletter that will inform you. I always send out some important content and information, as well as just links to where I'm going to be, and what I'm doing next. So that's one of the best ways of keeping in touch with me and my information.
Perfect. I will be signing up for the newsletter. So while I'm out in LA, I'll have your words with me.
Fabulous. Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Thank you for showing up for me today. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Oh, and thank you for trusting me so much to open up to me so vulnerably in the beginning. I do appreciate that trust. And just know you're going to keep doing great things, Chelsea, because that's the light that you are, that you've been able to finally bring to the surface. You didn't have to become that. You had to allow yourself to be, and that's exactly what you wound up doing. So you're quite successful in what you've done with your life. So just keep going.
Thank you, Vincent. If this episode resonated with you, it would mean the absolute world if you could pass it on and let other people know about it. How you can support this podcast is really just sharing it, telling people about it. If you know someone that's hurting in their heart, tell them about Thank You Heartbreak. And if you want to be a guest on Thank You Heartbreak, reach out to me. You can find me on Instagram at Thank You Heartbreak, or you can email me directly at Chelsea, Chelsea, at breakupward, breakupward.com. And if you're interested in one-on-one coaching sessions, you can visit my website, breakupward.com/shop, where you can check out directly from my site. It's a super, 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 super simple process. Of course, I will answer any of your questions before you book. And again, you can email me at chelsea@breakupward.com. There's many different coaching options. And I would love to show up for you as you begin to show up in more wise and clarifying and secure ways for yourself. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll be right back.